The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Lord, we bless you this afternoon. Can we just bless the Lord this afternoon with our spirit? Bless the Lord with our spirit. Make Allah the Hashkibayan. Reverend the hand of Siapon, the hand of Hashkibayan. Babarata Badishkipen, my Rabban, the hand of Siapon, and the Shendai. Kaparata hand of Rabalata Hasia. Fresh Kement, the Libra Hata Badiapa Rabalashkin. I want us to know that what we are discussing at this time, it's not just something that just came to forefront of discussion. There are things that are thoughts in the heart of God before the world began. The issue of salvation is not an afterthought of the fall of man. Hallelujah. It's not something that came because man fell. No, it's the original thought in God's heart for which He decided, like yesterday, to say, let us make man in our image. That was the bringing forth of that thought in their heart in the process of time. Because it was something in time of timelessness. We call it eternal thought. Before the world began, it's eternal thought. But when time came, the time we can relate to it not came, it became a thing that they convey into time. Let us make man. It means what we had wanted to do, let's bring it forth now. So, everything about God speaking speaking in terms of time was about conveying this thought. That's why the whole of the Bible, the whole of God's, I think you know that what we have in the Bible is not just all that is about God speaking. It also involves man's attitude in the midst of time. That's why the Bible is not like other books. It's like God in your Bible, but you know it was said like this. No, it could be said in the Bible, yet it's not God said. It's not God's thought. Are we in the house, please? Praise God. Amen. For example, if you take one book from the Bible, it doesn't reduce what God has spoken. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are we here? And if you take away a chapter of the Bible or a book of the Bible, it does not in any way tampered with what God wanted to say. Only that the mouths, out of the many mouths want to say it, maybe by 20 mouths you have removed 2 mouths. So the evidence of God's thought is still going to be contained as 18. That's why at the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. Sometimes that thought is in God's mind. God speaking in time is just conveying them as He has chosen to do that through the mouth of the prophets. Amen. Are we together, please? So you will discover that everything that pertains to the speaking of the prophets is concerning salvation. Once we take away salvation from the agenda. The Bible is useless. The Bible is useless. Because the very reason for speaking is salvation. It's like God, who at some time in a diverse manner, speaking in time past to the fathers by the prophet, speaking to the fathers by the prophet, and in this last time spoken to us. So you discover, am I with you, please? That everything you find God saying in the past, He has only found His Son to be the agent of interpretation. What I've done this morning is interpreting the Son. I'm in the house here. Because sometimes when we come across this kind of meeting, all of that, one of you, maybe that is this, that is their style. I want us to understand what God is doing and where the church is moving to. That it is a must that you have to move in there. It's a must. Because God wants to wrap up His intention. He wants to fold it up and move into a new age. The things we find now will not remain that way forever. There's a reason why they were. When the time was fulfilled for the speakings of the prophets to the fathers, God closed it. In the fullness of time, when that fullness came, in which man himself was not ready, God made all things ready. He made all things ready. He moved the Roman government in. The Roman government was not the strongest. It was one of the weakest. If there's kingdom, the kingdom of Babylon is, He told him, you are the head of gold, you are the original. Other ones, after you are weaker ones, but then will come the weakest one. Is that clay mixed with iron? Is that a kingdom? A confused kingdom. Amen. It's confused kingdom. So when the time came for it to close, or when God knew that there is enough speaking, God folded it up and by Himself brought forth His Son. Israel was not ready for it. He had to send John to go and wake them up. They were supposed to be the chosen people of God, but they were not ready for it. But it was God's own program. It was God's own salvation. It must be by His own arm. God stretched forth His arm to bring forth that salvation. The same way in which when the time of revelation is completed, God will fold it up. So the church age is not an eternal thing. The way we see it, there is something in view for it. Praise God. Amen. You know, we took a time around here. Okay, let me start reading to from where we read. Sometimes ago, we've read it over and over. 1 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, sir, for doing that great job on faith. We will stay much on faith in this meeting, okay? But because without it, we can't do much about it. But let's move to verse 8. Whom have you not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So it means your faith has an end. Let's see verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace. So what they were prophesying was the grace that should come unto you. Now, when you read the book of the prophet, does it look as if they were prophesying about grace? The issues of their time was enough problem to solve. There's nothing that appears as if they were speaking about a time. When they began to have an inclination, there's something much more that we have spoken more than I thought I meant to say. They began to inquire, what manner of saying is this? They began to look into it, and God spoke to them that it was not about them. So it means that none of the prophets experienced this grace. So none of them actually had chance to assess this salvation up to John the Baptist. So it means that when you use the book of the prophets, which are coded sayings concerning grace, not it's like grace, but in the delivery, there's nothing about grace in those things. Let me read to us from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 of Ephesians. Okay, let me read from verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, what? So what God spoke through the mouth of the prophet, when it was time for God to actualize it, he raised a man called Paul to make this dispensation activated. You know what we read last time? Mama read it, that this message, Jesus began to preach it, and it was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Those who heard him are not those who he taught at that time, and those who he made it known to afterward for the sake of making it known. Because many of them who heard those things at that time did not have eyes to see, they didn't have ears to hear, so they couldn't perceive it. It made no meaning to them. I went in the house, please. Only 12 were able to survive that curse. Only 12. When it was time for that grace to be known, God picked Paul to begin to make that grace known. So it means that when they were born again, they didn't have access to that grace. Because that grace has to do with knowledge. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Verse 5 is where I'm going. Are we in the palace? Are we here? Let's read that place together. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now, what? Unto the holy apostles and the prophet. Or as it is now made known or clearly understood. What he calls sons of men there are prophets. In other ages, in the Old Testament, in the ages of the fathers, it was not known. So the core reason for the New Testament is to make this grace known and to make it available. Because if this grace is not available, like we have learned through the issue of when grace will reign, it will reign through righteousness unto eternal life. So it's going to be a whole dispensation of grace. Grace is grace. It's grace and grace abounding. And this grace and grace is the revelation of the making known of his son, Jesus Christ. So, the meaning is this one. When you take what the prophets said in the Old Testament and use it without the revelation of the Son of God. Listen to me. Now you spent up to 2 hours today teaching, and your teaching was revolving around the whole of the New Testament. An average believer today in Nigerian church will not understand what you are saying. Why? What knowledge you are saying is not where they have lived in. If you pick the prophets or David now, and you talk about Psalms, it made sense to them. Are we in the house, please? But the truth is that what David said is not real until it is made known in Christ. Until it becomes something visible, something understood in Christ. You are not accessing grace that can lead to salvation. That's why you find those things only being used in terms of what is seen about our life. For example, Psalm 23. But this meeting has lots inside that I feel that our mindset has to be adjusted to go through the drill. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Everything we see in that psalm over the years is about a psalm that is needed for provision, protection, so I will not die. I will in the house, please. So that your provisions of life can be sustainable. Once you move into the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you say, it is that your soul will not lack. Everybody get confused. What is meaning of my soul will not lack? God says, he restored my soul. He didn't say, he restored my house. He didn't say, he restored my health. I went in the house, please. He restored my soul. Then he leaded me. So what is leading actually is my soul. He can't be putting soul in every chapter. He leaded me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He's still talking about my soul. And every person outside there who is born again, once we move there, is confused. And so, the job of the New Testament is to remove the veil that partitions invisible, to make it visible where tripartite being, we are spirit, we are soul, we are body. I want to house this. But the body is just the visible house that is needful for our interaction on the face of the earth. That's what your body, our real you, or your real you is not your body. That's like Jesus will say, do not fear they that can kill the body. But that's only all they can do. But rather, I say, fear him who has what it takes to destroy the soul and body in hell. Why will we not care about, why will we not talk about the fact that the one who can destroy both soul and body? You know, somebody may still have the permission to tamper with the body. If he can't tamper with the soul, they have not lost anything. That is where the warfare of the people like the early church got into another dimension. When you have a people who are not afraid of their life, not because they are careless with their life, but because they have insight into what is really life. So you see them advancing God's cause on the earth here, not fearing their life. What do you call their life? Or their body destruction. Because they were trained by their master or by their Lord that the body is not of much value like the soul. So, amen. So though the prophets, many of them spoke about these things, wrote about these things, like Jesus would say, when they say Jesus is the son of David, say, why would you say that? Because David said in the spirit, the Lord said to my Lord. But when Moses was when David was saying that, he was not really saying it as unto the Lord Jesus. So they were not fully aware of all they were saying. They were saying them by the Spirit. But we are in the age of interpretation. The job of the apostles is to interpret this dark saying and bring them into a sphere where they can be activated by the Spirit to produce a change in us that can lead us to salvation. Are we in the house, please? So salvation is the agenda of the last day, especially the last time. You know when I say last day? Last day is a space of a time. But in the old last day, the last day is divided to times. There is the last time of the last day. When it is the last time of the last day, the focus becomes salvation. That's why everything that God has spoken through the mouth of the prophet will be interpreted. There, how God has made it clear to him now or to them now was not known to the sons of men in the way it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. He's talking about prophets here. It's prophets of the New Testament. Are we in the house, please? That's why the prophet of the New Testament is not like the Old Testament prophets. Because sometimes some people want to it's true that we can't argue in terms of where you are or what you see is the domain of your life. Just said in my father's house are many places. So there are dominion or there are abiding places in the Father. Are we together, please? So I want you to understand so that you know that it's not a matter of somebody trying to push everybody into a knowledge. No. Because we have a lot of people from churches here that you need to understand what is going on. You need to understand what is going on. Do you know that before Christ came, there are different kind of sects that came out of Israel that seems to want to lead Israel? It was in those days you find the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the Hellenists, and the Zealots. All of them, there are all kinds of movement that came because of the darkness of that time, who are who had willingness to want to lead the people of God then forward into what God is doing. Do you know when Christ was finally battered on the earth here, that the greatest problem he had were these same people who were announcing a future for God's people? You would think that they should be the first one who should see the Lord. But John had to be sent. Because they were not sent, they went. They were not sent. It was just their heart. Now when your heart is your zeal without knowledge. So they went about to establish their own righteousness. When God was going to bring Jesus, there was none of them who could find. John didn't belong to any of the groups. He went to the wilderness to go and bring a man that will announce to them that God actually had mercy on Israel. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. So I want us to know that except God determines to open the time, there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing. For someone like us, as young as when we're having those days after during the holiday, you're going to have extramural classes, all of that, and it was the SUs that were organizing them in those days. During, long vacation, the SUs organized them, and they used that one to preach. I remember the ones organized around 78 or so, and all of that. It was salvation. That there will be cry to see souls give their life to Christ. And when people get born again, oh wow, finally saved. Amen. In fact, glory to God, finally is saved. And from that moment, you don't expect him to do any wrong anymore. In fact, the next moment that he's preaching everywhere, I went to the house, please. Immediately born again, in 2 weeks, he started preaching. He's an evangelist. Praise God. What am I saying to us? That despite those things happening, it does not change God's intention to deliver the knowledge of salvation. God set time to make it known. So in the age when it is not revealed, there's nothing to do about it. It is concealed, it is concealed. Pray and fast. It is concealed, it is concealed. Until the time of revelation comes. Which is actually, revelation is not answering the language, it's making known or giving understanding to what is not naturally seen or understood. It means if you take it by your mind, you will misapply it. Let me give you an example. Joel 2:28 says, it shall come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will do what? Prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. On the day of Pentecost, Peter took that message and said, as it has been spoken by Prophet Joel, that I will pour out of my spirit, not I will pour my spirit. He brought that prophecy to time by light. God enabled him to define that season, that it is, though it is the outpour of the spirit, but you are getting out of that outpour. So it's going to come to you in portion and portion. So when you receive this, it's not the end. You will still receive more. I went in the house, please. If that was not done that day, they will say we have received the Holy Ghost and there's nothing coming more that will be by the Holy Ghost. That is how powerful or how important understanding is that comes by revelation or by God making known. What God said is that all flesh shall see salvation. The word see there does not mean that you will see, you don't see with the eyes. Same thing Paul said, to make all men see. To see salvation or to see the glory of God. He used the word see, to sight. To sight does not mean that you will see this way. It means that the heart of man can comprehend that reality. A man's heart, not just the mind, the heart of man can receive it and come into alignment in such a way that it will become the life of that man from that moment. To make all men see what is the fellowship. And he looked and said, what dear? He looked as if, what is? It's a question mark. What is the fellowship? So if you ask, what is something? What do you expect to hear back? What is the fellowship? So you want to hear, if what is the fellowship? You want, then it means, this is the fellowship. Or what kind of fellowship? Or what kind of interaction? It means, how does it function? If he ask to make all men see how the fellowship, it will look straight. Is that not right? Amen. But it's asking us, how does it work? But what is this fellowship? It means it's talking about matters. What are the matters in this fellowship? What is said to say? What is man? What David said? What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? What means? What do you make man with? How do you frame man? What are the matters in man that make man man? If man is not what I see in this frame, there's something in the man. There's something in man that will not make Jesus to trust man. And there's something in the fellowship that God wants to see man inherit or receive. Praise the Lord. No, they say, who is man? What is man? It means you can't know the who until you know what the what. What is going on there? What is happening there? What is he doing there? What is going on? It means you need to know what first, before you can come to know how does it happen. So, the issue of salvation, number one, is attached to the last time. Are we in the house, please? Are we in the house here? Number two is that issue of salvation is what Christ represents. What Christ is to make known. What is in Christ? What is hid in Christ? Is salvation. It's not just what we say, Christ. What you cannot see easily in Christ that you need to be made, that need to be made known to you, is salvation. That's why it's a message. It's a learning. It's the making known or its revelation. Praise God. So, I think Paul used the word for the eternal salvation. When I say eternal salvation, he's trying to describe it further. Because salvation really is in salvation, right? Amen. But he's telling you, because salvation is used in the scriptures over and over in various ways, in various situations. For example, when God brought them out of Egypt and they went to the Red Sea, it's salvation. It's salvation. When God judged their enemies, it's salvation. But he's telling you that what Jesus brought, the reason for Jesus' perfection, if it's just for those ones, Jesus does not need to be perfected. Jesus at Jordan is good for everything that pertains to what man ever knew concerning salvation. Am I with you? Yeah, it's everywhere he went for, everywhere he went to, it was clear that God had visited his people. But what they didn't know is the what is called the horn, or the authority to save, or the authority for complete salvation, to save man only. Because man, you know, for ages, the best the prophet knew about man is the heart of man and the body of man. Nobody even knew that man has a spirit. So you discover that every religion that evolved on the earth here, they deal with man on two parts: the soul and the body. It's when Christ came that became revealed that man has another part called the spirit. No, Jesus began to teach it as he taught his revelation. He taught his parables. He talked about the three major meals. A woman who took a leaven and hid it in three measures of meal until they become completely leavened. He taught them in parables, but was bringing forth a reality that when man, God will raise man back, he will start from the innermost being. What has never been known before, that man is actually a spirit, and the spirit of man will come alive again, and from the inside it will move out. Where the eyes of man has been from outside to inside, that man in a new dimension, a new generation, will see life from inside outside. An average man today, his life is first of all outside before inside. That's why the soul can go through corruption and the man doesn't care. Doesn't receive anything going bad. But if anything tamper with his body, he will shout, "I am you." And remember, the soul has been sick for months, ages, he's not even aware of it. But the day something happens, it's I hear me. Now, I'm not saying that it's good for evil to happen to a person, but to him, he's going through much more trouble at that time. God, it's not real to him. But in the new dispensation, the inside of man will become more real than the outside. No, when someone says, I had God in my spirit. I had God in my spirit. You feel like, where is he hearing God? Where is my spirit? Does the spirit, does God speak to the spirit? Yet a man can live to a point that all he deals with God with is, I had. You know, sometimes you hear God, and it's like you hear it in your ear. It's so sharp, it's so strong. That it's like you had a voice in your ear. And many of us, we like that one a bit. See, I heard God. I heard God clearly. It means that it came to the realm of your visible it's become more audible physically. And to you have no proof. I said, I heard God. And a man can live a whole year and not hear that, yet he knew how God has been speaking to him accurately. Why? He's alive in the spirit. Because really, you have a spirit. Really, you have a soul. You have ears, you have mouth, you have every feelings of whatever you have in your body, presented also in your soul and in your spirit. Now when Jesus talked about kingdom and parables, you would think he was talking about a place. You won't know that he was demystifying a person. The kingdom is about a man who found a field. You would think it's a place. So where is the kingdom? Know what I say? Don't go anywhere. Don't look here and there. No, it's within you. There's something within you you never knew. In a new age, everything about your person will come alive. So the reason for faith is to reprogram man in the order of how he should function. Because if man is not restored back to being the man, and who is the man? What is the man? The man is Christ. The normal man is Christ. Every other man outside Christ is abnormal. No one says Christ, you say he's the Son of God, he's in heaven. No, that is the real man. That's the model of a man. Any man that's not Christ is a fallen man. So everything that the first thing that grace comes to do is to reprogram man to be a normal man. A man who can go in between flesh and God. We have only one mediator. Is that not right? What's mediator? The go in between. Because each time we talk mediator, you think it's going in between for me, and the meaning is, you know, for me, it's not just for you, it's going in between for man. For every flesh. That's how flesh can see salvation. I win the house this. Flesh has to be taken and brought to God. That's why he that cometh to God must believe. So faith is a tool needed for commerce. Flesh who are coming to God, they need faith to journey to God. So the essence of the coming is Christ. Anyone who can journey that way is Christ. Are we in the house, please? So, I was saying to us that salvation is programmed to be the end of the program of man's restoration. Salvation is not at the beginning. It's at the end. Hebrews 9, is it 27? Hebrews 9, 27. And as it is appointed unto man, once, man wants to die. But after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto. Unto. It means that the reason for the first appearance is to prepare them for the second appearance. After the first appearance, they can move into the zone where they can become sinless so that they can progress to salvation. So salvation is not something we obtain in heaven. No, I'm drawing inferences and conclusions on matters to become something we can. It's not something we obtain in heaven. It's something that we obtain in the flesh. While we are here, we have to obtain salvation. For he has not called us unto wrath, but he has called us to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. By nature, we were children of wrath. But we're not yet sons of wrath. Children of wrath is the one that becomes sons of wrath. You call it sons of perdition. We are children of salvation, but we have not obtained it. But we are meant to obtain salvation on the earth. What was brought to experience is salvation. That's what you are talking about. Jesus Christ, who abolished death, and he brought life and immortality. The two stooges of salvation is life and immortality. He brought life and immortality to light or to sight. Man must sight life and immortality. A believer on earth here must sight life and immortality. And that's all men. Plus those who preach it or what? They must sight it. They must see what Jesus Christ brought to manifest. Brought to light. What is appearing? Brought to sight. What man is to sight by his appearing? I understand. I like what it is appearing here. It's not appearance. It's appearing. It's gradual revelation. The more you sit in, the more you sight life. Are we in the house, please? The more you see Christ, the more you should sight light and immortality. It means it can be understood. It can be comprehended. Man should comprehend it. If you cannot understand it, you can't receive it. So, you now see that. The measure of what was brought to light in the days of the early apostles. Not the early apostles, their major job or the major requirement for the early apostles is to have seen Christ. You cannot be an apostle if you have not seen Christ. Because what you are meant to publish is Christ. So, when you say see Christ, you know we need that. It's not seeing Christ visibly. In terms of visible seeing Christ, among the apostles, there were only 12 that saw him physically. Is that all right? Amen. Musungo, okay? Let's just buy till 1:30 or so. Is that okay? Can we manage that? You want that? I'm just repeating the message from yesterday. I want us to, I know, I'm just trying to repreach the message and bring us to the place where we can all have a feel and touch of it, and you know, the whole church can, you know, have a way of access to it. Amen. Because more matters are coming, though. More serious matters. Very, very serious ones. One major thing that is requirement for apostleship is that he must have seen Christ. And seeing Christ there is not seeing Christ with the eyes. Only 12 of them belong to that record where they saw him in the flesh. And they also saw him in the spirit. Most of them actually saw him after resurrection. But majorly, the requirement is to see him in the spirit. So some people like Paul wouldn't belong to that because Paul never saw Jesus Christ physically. He didn't see him in the flesh. That's why it says, now knowing no man after the flesh. Though we have known Jesus after the flesh. But now, he was declaring the age of a new creation, that to see the new creation emerge, we must not see him in the flesh. Now, we see him no more after the flesh. So it means that seeing Christ is knowing Christ. It's knowing him in the spirit. Because that what you call Christ actually is more than a personality. When I say personality, it's more than just a figure. It's a being that contains God's wisdom and God's power. He has been made to us both wisdom and power. It means it's the new order of man. How man is supposed to be. It means to see Christ. Number one, means to come into fellowship with that personality to come into fellowship is to come to know Him. It's true that He gave them grace. Bible says in book of Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to Ephesians 4, please. I was reading that place on Sunday, but let's read it further a little bit. I therefore, the prisoner of Christ, of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, and forbearing one another in love. Paul called himself the prisoner of Christ. What was he in prison for? He was in prison for this knowledge. He was in prison by grace. Grace came on them than just their normal walk. Let me describe what I mean. For example, when you got born again, some of us got born again one day, the next day you received the Holy Ghost. Some of us that same day. That's not your walk. It's endowment of grace. Some of us, the same day, you lay hand on the sick and sick was recovered. Jesus Christ did not do any miracle. You hear that it was in Cana of Galilee, was the beginning of miracles. God built a man for 30 years. No miracle. No sign. You go born again one day, second day, you lay hands, you are healed. It's not your work, it's grace endowed. Because of our nature of falling flesh, then they need to dose us with much grace to make us wake up to reality of the Spirit. The things that Christ was talking about at 12, you know, many of us are 20 years of new birth. You are not yet sure if the Christian life is a vocation or not. What you know is that I'm a pastor. I'm a deacon. I'm a leader of a group. You can't boldly say, I know my father's business. Jesus at 12 years, knew enough that my father has a business. And about they were looking for him here and there. When they came to see him in the temple, say, son, why you have troubled us too much? If he's an average child, say, sorry, but that is that. Sorry, sir. His concern was that. How did you go? You told me you were looking everywhere. How is that you sought me? If you didn't see me, you should know where to go back to. Yes, don't you know I should be about my father's business? How is it? Not why are you looking for me? How? You said you are going everywhere. Sorry, sir. You said you are going everywhere. How did you engage in that? So, for him, the thing just made your grace to him, like, it grew in grace. It grew. And you saw here the child grew. And Jesus increased. If they took us through that growth, nobody will survive. If they took, no matter how anointed you are today, if they took you through the growth of Jesus Christ, you won't survive. You won't arrive. Even with the Holy Ghost and with everything you see after today, you are doubting, is God real? This thing we're talking about. So, what I'm saying is that for the apostles, the Lord took them prisoners and made your grace to them. if you allow them to go through their normal growth, they won't see Christ. They can't know Christ. For John to sight the lamp, he was in wilderness for 30 years or so. Just for only one reason, that you will sight the Lamb of God and you will make him known. When he could get to behold the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world, he finished his ministry. The reason for raising John was for that. That was the hallmark of John's ministry. Because Abraham, who saw Jesus, Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. If he saw Christ, he won't know Christ. Abraham won't know Christ. He saw his day in the spirit. And when you see this in the spirit, it's more hysterical. It's more glorious. It's like when you, amen, when you have a dream, you will see, you can see a battle, and the battle is raging heavily, la, ka, ka. When it's going to play out naturally, you say, it won't look like, is that what I saw? That's the wala between a prophet and an apostle. If a prophet is not in the order of the Old New Testament, he will have problem. Because you will call to battle by what you see. But you need to interpret what you have seen accurately. So when you see them play out, you can relate with them. But they will play out normally. What God has been saying for 20 years, you can be playing out among us here now, and you won't see it. You won't see it. And God playing things out on earth, he doesn't most of the time disrupt the natural order. He allows the natural order, he tailor it to play along. So it will play in the midst of nature. Imagine, if not that Jesus was born by a virgin, it was a virgin birth. There's nothing special about that birth. The Son of God, a child of the Holy Ghost, stayed 9 months in the womb. I mean, they carried the womb 9 months. Every day was growing like normal human being. Who can believe that? So God put nature there and doesn't disrupt it anyhow. Rather, he played to it. So if you don't have discernment, you won't see God there. You know, the only time we see miracle is when God breaks through nature and disrupts it. God doesn't break through nature too often. He doesn't. As you woke up this morning, it don't look miraculous to you. You just jump down, thank God for today. It's when you're broken, no, your nose is blocking. I couldn't sleep yesterday just because of kata. I nearly died. Now you now appreciate that inhaling air is not the love. It's a miracle. Amen. Have you ever stepped on an insect before? Step on an insect and remove your leg and it walks away. I've ever seen that before. You just step on an insect. You remove your finger. It just walks away. Just look at your weight to the insect. If what has your twice weight fall on you, you are finished. Just twice your weight. But you know how much of your weight is in an insect? Amen. So what I'm saying to us is that for God to move into the age of salvation, he needed to activate power of sight. One of the things that Christ died for is to make men see. Let me say, the greatest thing that Christ died for is to, he died for our sin. Are we in the house, please? And when Christ died and you believe Christ, your sin is dealt with in the spirit. It's true. But if your sin was dealt with in the spirit and you are left like that, you may die a second time. If dead, also take care of the opening of our eyes, so that our eyes can see. So one of the things that God did to the apostles, that God gave them grace to see, to sight Christ, than an average believer. The way Paul saw Christ, it's not every believer that can see like that. They all have access to the Old Testament. It's not only in the confines of Paul. They read that Bible, if it's not a Bible, in all the synagogues. Amen. So all of them have access to the letters. But they don't all have access to the Spirit. Though they are born again, and they have access to the Holy Ghost. But there's needed for grace to make the Spirit move you into a realm of sin. Are we in the house, please? So the first set of apostles, they received grace to make men see Christ. That's how you can see Christ and see the faith that's in Christ. If you talk about faith, normally faith is going to be that you trust God. I went to the house this. If a man trusts God, he was walking by faith. But the new faith now is not just to trust God. It's to trust what God has done in Christ. So faith has been redefined. Not just to trust in God, but trust in Christ and what God has wrought in Christ. And you can't trust what God has wrought in Christ if it's not known. So in Paul helping the church, he also knew that the church has to move in there, and so he need to pray the church. Though he was writing to them, he was teaching them, there's need for prayer to be offered to move them to the realm of access to sight. So when you see ministers, you know, who have been graced preaching, it's not only because they have learned in terms of Bible study. That's what I'm saying. It's not that they have learned, but Jesus took them, imprisoned them is not to allow them to live like, to live normally like an average believer who has the Holy Ghost. I went to ask this. You know when a believer has the Holy Ghost, you just receive the Holy Ghost, God wants to receive the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues, you see the power of God working through you. There's a way a man of your activity. I went to ask now. It's not about working with the Lord, it's about seeing those power move. But imagine Paul wants to do that. The same day after he was baptized, he stood and wanted to be preaching Christ. You know, he said, you are a prisoner. The imprisonment took him out of the place. For how many years? He was not in a sphere where he could be seen. He spent 14 years in Arabia. That's imprisonment. And high doubt, and what they did for him 14 years, if he has been living normal Christian life, he can have it. I went in the house to the place. There's no way. So that work that was done for 10 years was a massive work. That's why they called them little Christ. All the apostles were little Christ. They received measure of grace. That measure is measure of Christ. before you can walk by yourself and come to mayor, bro, by reading Bible, to come to mayor. But they receive mayor in their imprisonment. That imprisonment released mayor to them. To every one of us is given grace, not every believer, to every one of them. When he say us there, it's them. Was given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Whereby he said, when he ascended, he led captivity captive. Actually, Jesus Christ led captivity as liberty. But for them, they were captives. He led them as prisoners. So while every believer is free, they are not free. Am I with you, please? I'm just trying to let you know that being able to see salvation needs a lot of grace. Needs a lot of grace. That's why if you're a believer and you don't care about the gifts of Christ, you will spend a very long time. If you don't have access to hear men who have been graced, the meaning is that you will take long time to arrive. And the meaning is that in your long time, the devil can take occasion against you to make you weary. What should have happened in a short time? If it doesn't happen in a short time, it's going to create weariness. Because when a hope is not defied, the heart is sick. So the hope must become activated by resurrection life. I went to house this. So that you have access to hearing to grow your ear to access more grace. What to make a man to open this Bible? You open Philippians and you will read it, and you will find joy and power there. Without reading Psalm. Without reading Psalm, I tell you, so much grace has been granted to you. Because the way to fear God is with you is to read Psalm. Psalm 90. Psalm 91. Psalm 23. Then you confess the prophets. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against judgment, that shall condemn. In the name of Jesus, they will not prosper against me. Amen. I win the house. That's how we use scriptures. That's how we feel secured. I'm not saying we won't confess scriptures. I'm only saying that there's something understanding does to you. When you come into the mystery of Christ and it's been known to you, grace has been granted to you, there is a strength that comes by grace. That's why you're going to see Paul saying to Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. That grace has strength, has power. Amen. So you can understand why Paul will raise the issue of prayers. Is I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love to all the saints, I cease not to pray for you and to make mention of him in prayers, that the God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I cease not to pray for you, though I write to you. Writing is not enough. I need to pray for you. I can write to you and it won't make any meaning. What I wrote by the Spirit, that's clear, I can give you. For how many years? The Bible has been in our hands. It's not in our hands. Our fathers read them. They give them to us. They're in our hands. Yet these things did not make sense to us. Amen. So, comprehension in the spirit is not mere. It's not ordinary. It's not simple. To comprehend this person called Christ. Christ is a spiritual being. Christ is an entity from another world. It's not part of our world. It's not part of the angelic world. And bro, that is the one you are called to comprehend. Say, I will see Christ. Come on, say, I will see Christ. I will see the Son of God. That thou shouldest see. That thou shouldest hear the voice of the just one. And thou shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Thou shouldest see the just one. And that thou shouldest. It is a more that you should hear. To see and to hear his voice. It's not that you are hearing the voice of the Holy Ghost. No. That the just one will begin to speak to you. It's called the fellowship of the Son. Now, in the age of the Holy Ghost discussions, we have enjoyed that. Huh? But a time come when the Son begin to explain this to you. See that thou shouldest know is should. Thou should. No, that it's not that you shall. That should. It's a requirement for you and I. When a thing is a requirement, then it's a must. That thou shouldest. You should know his will. It's a must that you should know his will. You should see the just one. You should comprehend the just one. And then you should hear the voice. So when he's speaking, what he's saying will be making right make sense to you. You know, one of the greatest problems we have had is separation between our discourse and God's discourse. That's our highest enmity. Our discourse is not God's discourse. Even when God speaks to us, we can't get it. You don't know what God is saying, even when he says it. What you will do by what he says is not what he asks you to do. And sometimes he will still get there and empower you. Even in our inaccuracy. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so let me find a way of tying up this issue of seeing salvation. So it's a matter that we must see Christ. For seeing Christ, God first of all raised the apostles. Okay? So you can't see Christ outside their writing, number one. Their writing, and also God raising men with enabling power today to speak their writing. God has to enable men, empower them to speak. Then, in speaking, it's like a move you to the realm where a world or a realm that you cannot access by yourself. If they leave you for 10 years, you won't get there. While I was preaching this morning here and teaching us, he was saying, you need much power to move in them. He said them simply. But it's not simple. It takes being seated in the domain over time and there opening you because you have stayed. And it's not just going to be about him, it's about us. So whatever came that way is to move us, to put you into the realm of grace. So that grace can be multiplied. Grace must multiply So Paul wrote that, said, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Because, let me tell you, the order of the major of grace is to help us, to move us to abundance of grace, to peace. So anytime you hear grace in the New Testament, apart from grace that came by gift in terms of what we didn't work for, which came by initial faith, you receive gift of grace. That was why you were born again, right? That's why you receive the Holy Ghost. But if grace and peace will be multiplied, it has to come through knowledge. That's why the grace of God that bringeth salvation. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. So they are describing a kind of grace of God. But God has the diverse manner of grace. It's rich in grace. The grace of God that bringeth. So it's I think it was PJ yesterday was describing where God says some himself. He himself. It's emphatic. It's describing the kind of grace that bringeth salvation as appeared to all men. You would think it's everybody. No. It's describing men that God has given to Christ. What is that grace doing? Teaching them. Teaching us that. Teaching us that. Denying. So you can't deny on calling it onto your thought. And grace is the teacher that can make a man deny ungodliness. Because for me, I want to live godly. Jesus, make me to live God. Prayer does not do it. Grace must teach you. Ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So grace now is teaching us how to live. So it means grace is bringing us into Christ, or making Christ into us, making Christ formed in us. My little children, of whom I travel in bad again, until Christ be formed in you. So the job of grace here is to make Christ form, to raise a godly man, a man who can deny ungodliness, who can look away from worldly lust, who is not pulled by the world. In the days we are in, our piety won't suffice. It's time for us to move into a zone where we can move to salvation. If you don't come to grace teaching, there's no hope of salvation. Salvation is not something God just dash you. No. They lead men to it. No, we think that if he can die as a Christian, in fact, he died as a Christian. One thing, there's only one thing that man gained. He just died as a Christian. That's not the death that God recommends. He just died as a Christian. No, God wants him to live as a Christian. Much more. And the way to live as a Christian is to live through grace and peace multiplication. That's what we're teaching. Add to your faith. Praise God. I'm not just saying. I'm saying revelation is the key to salvation. And what it does is to bring grace to us. When Christ is revealed, grace is available. That is sure and can guarantee us to salvation. Talking about what he was talking about, that the entrance, you can have an entrance to be ministered to us into the everlasting kingdom. You know, Jesus gave a parable of somebody who entered the kingdom and was offended in the kingdom. That man has not been secured. He was in the kingdom, but he was cast out because of offense. I went to the hospice. So it's clear that there's the document of how to have access, entrance into everlasting kingdom is progress, and it's by the making known of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we start talking about salvation, when the people has found, they have settled their dispute, they have settled their contrariness against Christ. When men have got to settle themselves in this grace and say, this is the way into life. Hallelujah. I will bless this afternoon. I want to believe strongly that something has been added to what was strongly laid this morning. That was a strong laying. The New Testament is beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Only that man cannot access it through strength. Yes. It's not. You cannot access it through your strength. It takes a lot of grace. It takes a lot of mercy to assess it. But I want to pray in this season that this reason why God is asking for publishing is because He wants men to be holder. That men will fight and they will hold life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you this afternoon. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory. Bring us to the fellowship of life.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesday for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.